Welcome back into the third and final hour of the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Did you like the trade? Did you like the Broncos trading away Bradley Chubb? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. And I think the sentiment is more or less, bummer, liked him, he was good, but a first rounder is better. The prospect of greatness is better than a good player for the Broncos right now. The difference between when Vaughn left and Bradley left, like the clip? When Vaughn left, I mean, Vaughn is a Bronco through and through, and I'm not saying Chubb wasn't. But Vaughn has been through it all. He's been through the Tebow years. He's been through the Manning years and went to Super Bowls. So there's a lot more there. But here's the difference, kind of. Here's Von Miller.
Everything is just still, you know, new, and you know, it's hard to, you know, really put the emotions into words. You know, this is all I know. This is all I ever knew playing a pro sports. Here with the Denver Broncos, I've been here through the ups and the downs, and you know, it's always tough whenever you leave, though. But I love all my fans. I love Broncos country. When I said Broncos for life, I meant that, and it'll always be on my heart.
That still bugs me, you know.
It's choked up a bit.
It does, man, because it makes me go, oh, dang. Shouldn't have done it. But it was better for Vaughn. He wouldn't want a Super Bowl out of it. He might win another one.
I don't know about that now.
Oh, come on.
I think Josh Allen's a little worried.
Are we? Okay. I don't know what the legalities are here. We betting on this? The Bills go further than Miami.
It's hard to say right now. The Bills are clearly the best
team.
Team has one loss.
Five coffees.
That's a lot of coffee. In one day?
Just over time.
I could probably do that.
Five beers? A beer?
Okay.
Put a beer on the line?
You could do that.
You could put a beer on the line. Okay, there we go.
I don't know, but the Dolphins matchup against the Bills in December doesn't have a schedule yet.
Ooh, oh, that's moving to...
It's going to be Sunday night,
That'll be moving to primetime.
It'll get fun.
So now, is it a massive failure if they don't get... Okay, the Dolphins are a playoff team. If they miss the playoffs, what's happening in your mind?
It would have to be the circumstances for them not to make the playoffs. It would have to be we completely fell apart in the back half of the season. I think a move like this kind of solidifies that Tua is the quarterback now. You don't have a first to trade. You don't have a first to go get another guy. So Tua's the dude.
Yeah.
You got Tyreek for another couple years probably. You have the young talent, and if you can get lucky enough to get your quarterback on the rookie deal, you can do so much more with your cap space, with your draft picks, all of it, and it puts you in this kind of position with Miami. They're pushing it all in. They're going for it.
Oh, yeah, they are. That was a move. Your first-round pick to get Bradley Chubb. That's why I say it's an overpay, but I'm not knocking the Dolphins for doing it because this was the position they needed the most. And Chubb is still a good player. Now, I was just thinking about this, Angel. How depressing for Broncos fans would be. We get to that probably primetime game, Bills, Dolphins, and Bradley Chubb sacks Josh Allen twice. Von Miller sacks Tua twice, forces a fumble. But Josh Allen ends up having a great game. You see all three of the, well, Josh is the what if. Chubb was the guy you took over, Josh, and then Von was the one that you let get away. Watch all three of those guys just come out, and we're sitting there watching Sunday Night Football or whatever, and it's like amazing play after play between those three guys.
That'd be fun. I'm excited.
It would not be fun.
You're not sure about him wearing two, though.
It's weird looking.
Is it?
Yeah.
I kind of like it.
It doesn't bother me with Patrick Surtain because they always have two. I don't know why, but because it's always a 20-something.
Or like in the 50s somewhere, like but he was.
I always think of a linebacker in the 50s. What is Josie Jewell, 47? No. Is he 47?
47 or 46.
Why am I? I used to be a numbers guy. I used to know numbers so well. But yeah, I think it's 47. But it still kind of bugs me. I don't know why.
I think it gives you a different reputation. Like, oh, you're a defensive lineman, well, now you and stand you're wearing
out.
Two.
Yeah, you do stand out more.
Okay. Makes it easier for the scout team to be, hey, look at number two.
Look at number two. There he is. Well, and Patrick Surtain, like, that stands out a little bit, but we never see him.
Well, that's his brand, too.
It's PS2. Two. Yeah, which is sweet. I love it. It's going to drive me crazy if I don't know this. 47. Josie Jewell's 47. That kind of bugs me because that was, like, John Lynch was 47. So that's a safety number.
You get attached to numbers?
I used to a lot more. Now I don't care.
Is 7 retired for Denver?
Yes.
Okay.
7 is, well, 18 is retired twice because when Peyton came, he called Frank Trepuka and asked if he could, or he called the organization agreed that he could bring it out, but that number is now retired again. So, I think it's just that number. Those two numbers, I believe. What numbers are Dolphins? Because what was Marino? Was he 18?
Marino was 13.
13, that's right.
That one is unavailable. I'm sure there's more from that 72 undefeated team. I'd have to look. I know Marino is retired.
Yeah, and I like when you retire certain numbers, but again, I think we abuse that a little bit. But yeah, this is just going to be really interesting to see how Miami does with this, how the Broncos feel about this going forward. George Payton has made a lot of moves, dude, that are going to define him pretty quickly. Like, he made a ton of moves and a ton of gambles, and now we're just sitting. He put his money in the bank, or he put his money on the table. He gambled. He's on his DraftKings app, and he threw all these little parlay bets out there. Here they are. And now he's just sitting back hoping that he can hit some of these. Russell Wilson. Gamble to sign him? To trade for him? Gamble to re-sign him. Nathaniel Hackett. Rookie coaches are always a gamble. Traded Von Miller. Didn't really pay off yet, but they used that pick to get Greg Dulcich, I guess. And Nick Benito, right? And now you find out if the Bradley Chubb thing's going to work out. I mean, if Denver goes on and turns the season around, then you will all look at it and go, okay, this defense, it was more the entity that is this Denver defense than just one player. And if they somehow bonus and get a great player out of the draft, then wow, there you go. But there's a big chance here that everything can bust. Because I haven't seen Russell Wilson. I haven't seen enough of Russell Wilson this year to say that he's tier one. Certainly not. Barely tier two if he is. I don't know. But then again, neither is Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. They're not tier one. Are they tier one?
No.
Rodgers had like 70 yards last week. I don't remember how much, but they just ran. They were down two scores and continued to just run the ball because they couldn't do anything. Rodgers can't pass it anymore.
And they made no moves to help them. They were interested in Jerry Judy.
They were interested. They called to see about
like
Jerry Judy.
They weren't going to front the picks.
And that's the thing. Denver asked high because why not? If you get the first rounder for Judy, then you probably take it. Even though I liked what I saw the last 2 weeks, both with Wilson and Rippon a little bit, I think Jerry Judy maybe is starting to get it. But a first rounder, okay, Judy's not a first rounder anymore. It doesn't feel like it. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. If you guys want to chime in on the poll question or what have you. Quickly here, Angel, we are flipping the calendar over. We're in November now. Basketball season is upon us. College basketball season is right around the corner. And I mean, a few days away. And as bad as football has been in this area, basketball should be the complete opposite in this area. And when I say area, I'm talking about Cowboys too. CU, I don't care what year it is, I don't care who it is, Tad Boyle always kind of has this team ready to go. And then CSU, we'll see how that goes. But without Isaiah Stevens for the first couple of months, who's the stud? So what I was looking at, just the one. Now there's several good players on each team. But who's the guy? Who is the guy for each team? CU, probably Tristan Da Silva. CSU, it's Isaiah Stevens, but while he's out, who is it? It's probably John Tonje. Wyoming, Hunter Maldonado or Graham Ike? Graham Ike, because he's getting all the accolades. Like, he's on all the watch lists or whatever. And then UNC, it's Dalen Coons. Cool thing is all four of those guys are all big names that are probably going to go play basketball at another level, whether that's the NBA or not. Graham Ike is probably an NBA player. Is Dalen an NBA player, or does he need this year to... He needs a monster year.
He needs a monster year, but I think he's definitely on a couple of draft boards.
Yeah, because he checked in last year to get evaluated.
Yep.
And what he told me was that they kind of told him, hey, they love your scoring ability, love how you can strike and get down close to the rim. Want to work on that defense and his just overall shooting and passing. So more of a point guard, because he doesn't know what he'll be. So we kind of want to see more of a versatile guard that can do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I like that. And I like that him taking on that challenge going into this season. And I like that you can step out, get an evaluation, and then decide what you want to do.
Yeah.
And him taking the opportunity to come back for one more year with Matt Johnson.
Love it.
That makes that backcourt so dangerous now.
I'm very excited about it. I'm very excited about basketball in this area.
Can we get started next week?
Yeah. Well, UNC's Monday.
Yep.
On KFKA. Jerry Schimmel, baby.
He's back.
Jerry Schimmel is back calling games.
Some bullseye calls.
Bullseye calls. Who knows?
Right between the eyes.
I love his calls, man. He's so good. Smitty says, EK's too slow and skinny for his position and skills. Yeah, but the skinny thing can be fixed. Just
eat a sandwich.
Just eat a sandwich and hit that weight room. He said he's not an NBA player. I think Graham's an NBA player. I think he'll get drafted. Smitty, we're betting a coffee, you know, with a little Bailey's in it. Just start betting all these people. Mysterio, have you watched Colin Cowherd's take on Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray swap? Yes, I have, and it's just fodder. It's just erroneous. It's just a take to get ratings. I'm not saying I haven't had some crazy takes before, but that, no way in hell is Arizona touching that. That's not happening. You think it could happen?
If you didn't give them the extension, maybe. Because I don't know what they're doing in Arizona. They might try to move off their
If
coach.
You didn't give them the extension, yeah, but you did. So no, there's no way. There's no way. Now, if Russell Wilson was lighting it up, again, we wouldn't be having this discussion. But if he was, then yeah, Arizona goes, we could trade Kyler Murray. You get your young quarterback to grow with, and we get Russell Wilson, who's more franchise-friendly, and away we go. But you haven't seen good play from Russ. And if you did, you wouldn't be having this conversation. So
let me ask you, if they didn't do the extension, and let's say the Broncos are 4-4,
right
at even going into the bye, would you make the trade?
Is Russ playing the same? We just managed to get a pick six or something. And
he's playing about the same, but you managed to win the Colts game and the Jets game.
And so we don't have him for the extension?
No.
And Arizona called and said, hey, do you want to swap? I would say no, because Kyler Murray has shown us, I mean, is he a guy you can grow with? I don't know. He's physically ridiculously good.
He needs to do some growing himself.
But that's my fear. You don't want a guy coming over here that's in a rebuild team that's... Does he have an attitude? I mean, again,
But he's playing Call of Duty too much.
I wouldn't do it. If we were 4-4 and Russ is playing about the same, I'd say it's going to get better. And I still feel like this team's going to get better. But I think the idea of that, like, Arizona wouldn't touch that right now because you're not good. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, Angel, what is Russell Wilson? 10 being Josh Allen, 0 being Drew Locke, backup quarterback.
So he's about 4.75.
And what's Kyler Murray?
About a 5.5.
And a 5.5 that's got 10, 15 years versus a 4.7 or whatever that's got, is even going to finish his contract.
Right. Cheesiness or attitude?
Yeah, what would you rather have? I'd rather have the cheesiness. Right? Or do you want attitude? I wish Russ had a little bit of that attitude. Maybe we'll see it. Holyoke Kyler could dual sport and play for the Rocks.
There we go.
Well, can't Russ play
dual? Russ can also play baseball.
Russ was drafted by the Rockies. He was. He's a Rocky. Maybe they swap it, and Brendan Rodgers is so damn good at second base, maybe he could quarterback.
I got a gold glove. Go get a gold arm or something.
Do you like that every position gets a defense? Like, they're honoring every defense, every position. So there's the best second baseman. There's the best third baseman. And it's a gold glove. Like, do you feel comfortable saying Brendan Rodgers has the same award as Nolan Arenado?
No.
It's weird.
Then the Silver Slugger Award. It's like, oh, you hit 10 home runs. Here's a bat trophy.
I think that, and again, baseball's all about more names. So All-Star, everybody gets an All-Star now. CJ Cron is not an All-Star. But he was an All-Star. What does the NFL do? Like, when I play Madden, they honor they have the top linebacker, top safety, top. Do they do that in the NFL, or is it just best offensive player, best defensive player, rookie of the year, MVP, comeback player of the year? Those are it, right?
That defensive rookie, Walter Payton.
Okay.
But not a lot of, you know, you were the best linebacker in the AFC West. You're the best linebacker in the NFC. Like, no.
I guess they do in college.
Yeah. There's 20 awards in college.
But it bothers me that every position, maybe it shouldn't. I don't know. It's just weird to me.
Does that mean anything to say you're the best second baseman in the National League?
If it's Brendan Rodgers, does it mean anything? I'm sorry, Brendan, but was he that good at second base? And they did turn a lot of double plays. So
yeah,
that's a good second baseman doing that. I mean, he's good. I'm not taking anything away from his defense.
All those gold gloves haven't won us anything.
But it just seems weird that Brendan Rodgers has the same award this year that Nolan Arenado got.
Several times.
Because Nolan had his 10th straight gold glove. 10th straight. Fourth infielder to win 10 consecutive gold gloves. I don't know. Maybe I'm being a little too weird about it. Definitely don't like the All-Star thing. That every team gets somebody to represent them in the All-Star game. I think that's silly. That takes away from the award. I'd rather two.
It does take away, but you also get that publicity for those lesser-known teams.
I get what they're doing, but you know me. I'm strict on this stuff.
You like competition.
I like competition. My Hall of Fame, like, nobody's in it.
We give away prizes on technicalities, apparently.
There's nobody in the Hall of Fame. My NFL Hall of Fame is the strictest you're ever going to see. And there's
like, John Madden, and that's it.
There's like three people in it, bro. But that I like that. That's the same way with my basketball, All-Star games, Pro Bowls, all of it. Like, Pro Bowl, I'm kind of glad that they did away with the actual game. And we can stop with this, he was a reserve, but he's a Pro Bowler. Like, he was the fifth guy in, but three guys got a cough, and one guy went to Cuba. And so this guy got to be a Pro Bowler, and that's on his resume now.
Like Mac Jones.
Yeah.
He's not a Pro Bowl.
That's why it's like all pro is the thing you need to look at over Pro Bowl. But now they mean the same because if you can't go, you can't go. You're still the Pro Bowl. Although they're doing what? What are they doing?
It's like 3 days of skills challenge. No actual football. So
would you pay
ball,
to see it?
No.
If it was in Denver, would you pay to go down there and see it?
No, because the All-Star game was in Denver last year and I went downtown once just for the little event that they were doing, but no.
I would
rather play it on Madden than go to an event for the Pro Bowl.
All-Star games don't excite me at all. They just don't. Not anymore. They used to.
I like them for like just to see all the different players interact with each other, but
now you're seeing.
But it's all a bunch of players that aren't going to go win anything.
Yeah. Well, and now you're seeing it just in the regular season now. Players are joining forces left and right, so it's not anything new.
They're all friends now.
They're all buddies. 24 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, future headlines. We didn't do so well last night.
Mm-mm.
Didn't do so well. We did get one, I think. We agreed on everything yesterday. We got the Bulls.
Got the Bulls.
Bulls ran through the Nets. We didn't get the Astros pick. Did we have another one? Boy, I can't even remember.
What was the Bradley Chubb trade?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
but that was breaking before we got
there. That's true. And by that point, things were already in motion.
Papers were printed.
We got to run with it, man. We got advertisers on that front page. We got to get it out. Might be old news, but we got to get it out. 25 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Future headlines.
So, here's what's going to happen.
Here's your headline. Some companies still know how business is done.
You take the pictures, I'll make up the headlines, okay? All right? That okay with you?
Back again for some future headlines. Two for three yesterday. Missed the World Series game. But we have three more headlines for you. We got some basketball and then some more World Series action. So, starting off, Mitchell webs up Celtics and Cavs win. The spider.
Mitchell's been pretty good, man. Cleveland's been pretty good. They're what? I think they've only lost one game so far.
Yeah, I think both teams are 4-2, 4-1.
And Boston's trying to see what they're... Well, they're 4-2. They're fine. Do you know what the spread is on that? Let me look at that.
I don't, but it is Cavs' home game.
Cleveland is a 2-point dog. Yeah. I like Cleveland winning tonight. I like Mitchell going off. Let's go there. Let's do that.
Okay. The other NBA game on national TV tonight, Morant and Memphis run out of Dame time.
What's the Dame situation? I don't know what his injury's looking like. I like Memphis getting back on it tonight. They lost to Utah the other night, so I like Memphis recovering tonight. Jaw goes off.
Maybe see a little David Roddy tonight?
Maybe see a little Roddy action tonight. Yeah, be good with that.
And last one here, headed back to the World Series. Phillies take commanding lead back to Houston.
I liked the Astros last night. That was over before it started. My goodness. I'm taking the Astros. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, and the Astros win. But what do I know?
You don't think Bryce is turns it on one more time?
I mean, my goodness. He's having one of the best postseasons ever. Isn't he? I mean, just absolutely crazy. It's got to slow down at some point, though. He had a record-tying 5 home runs last night in the World Series. My goodness. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Right, so if the Phillies do win tonight, they'll take a 3-1 lead with Game 5 being in Houston. That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
Go to the cheater's house and take the trophy back.
Are you rooting for the Phillies?
Yes.
Yeah.
They are America's team. I don't like cheaters.
I don't really care. I know they're cheaters, but I don't really care. None of these teams
The integrity of the game is at risk.
I care about the integrity of the game. These two teams don't... they don't do anything for me. That's fine.
But I have family in Texas, and they're big Houston Astros fans, so...
So this is a big one. It's a big game. We shall see, Angel. All right, 32 minutes after the hour. More on... how about this? Well, let's get into college football playoff rankings. The first one came out. Big games coming up this weekend, too, that mean a lot to that. And where are those... Where's that Alabama Roll Tide right now, Angel? Are you feeling a little worried? A little worried?
No. Everything will work itself out.
As it always seems to for Nick Saban. We'll talk about that next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
No sleep till...
The first college football playoff rankings came out today, or yesterday, or earlier this week. I don't know what day it is anymore. We've got Tennessee at 1, Ohio State at 2, Georgia at 3, Clemson at 4. And the teams on the outside looking in is Michigan, undefeated Michigan, 7-1 Bama, undefeated TCU. I'm just going to top 10. 7-1 Oregon plays CU this weekend. They got to win by a million to move up at all. USC at 9, LSU at 10. How do you feel? You good?
I'm perfectly good with this. I was interested to see how the top three were going to shake out. It looks like they're not so high on Georgia right now. They've had a couple of struggle weeks the last couple of weeks. Ohio State looked kind of rough early on against Penn State. And then Tennessee, they just put together a complete game against Kentucky. Yeah. They have the win over Bama and LSU.
Yep.
They're the best team in the country right now.
They are 8-point favorites against Georgia this weekend.
Now, in Georgia.
Tennessee 1 and Georgia's 3 in Georgia. That is the game of the week. It's 1:30 on Saturday on CBS.
College game day will be there. Much like the Bama-LSU game a few years ago, this is now the new game of the century.
If Tennessee covers that, does that knock Georgia out of the top four? Let's just say Tennessee beats them by 10.
I think it knocks them out of the top 10.
Does it really?
I think they're looking for a reason to get Georgia out of that conversation.
Top 10, they would drop them 7-plus spots?
Oh, well, if Oregon can win and TCU keeps winning, LSU will drop out of the top 10, hopefully.
Oregon won't move up, though, because they're playing CU, unless they went like 60-3.
Yeah, Oregon could get around 6 or 7, depending on what happens with TCU. But Tennessee, Georgia have to play. Ohio State, Michigan still have to play each other. Bama still has LSU.
Well, Bama, LSU, so they're 13.5-point favorites. If for some reason Bama smokes them, that's got to move them up.
I could see them jumping up past Michigan there. Clemson's also interesting because their schedule isn't great.
Yeah, they got Notre Dame.
They do have Notre Dame coming up soon.
They're only 3.5-point favorites in that game.
Wow.
Is that crazy?
I don't think it is because Notre Dame's not really great. They're starting to get better. In Clemson, they have a quarterback issue. They haven't really been dominant all year. Their schedule is really light. So, yeah, I don't think Clemson will finish there in the top six.
Do you think they lose this weekend?
To Notre Dame?
Yeah.
I could see it. It's in South Bend.
I could see that happening, too. That's a scary spread.
TCU, they still have to play Baylor and Texas this rest of the season.
Yeah.
They're trying to get in the conversation.
What is what does Oregon have left? You know, obviously they have CU this weekend.
At CU, home against Washington, home against Utah.
Significant.
And at Oregon State.
Oregon's not going to get in.
Really?
I don't think so. That's not a good enough. The only way, they got to hope for losses now. They got to, what are they sitting at, 8?
And then most likely a matchup with USC in the Pac-12 championship.
So they need Georgia to get stomped by Tennessee this weekend. They need, I mean, honestly, they need LSU to pull off an upset against Alabama. And then they need Clemson to lose this weekend, too. They're going to need help. Even if they win out, if Oregon wins out, even if they win big, they're going to need a lot of help.
What about a team like Illinois? They're 7-1 right now.
Yeah, the team that beat the hell out of Wyoming and had us freaked out about Wyoming, and now we go, oh, well, that's why. Seven. They could climb up. The problem is you start just looking at the schedules, though, and what are those games that are going to help you move up? If they pull off an upset against Michigan, they play Michigan on the 19th of November. They have Purdue. They're off this weekend, Illinois. The Fighting
Illini.
They got Purdue in 2 weeks, then Michigan and Northwestern to finish the season. There's a team that could do something. It's in front of them.
Nope, it's totally there. You saw it with Iowa a couple years ago. They ran the table in the Big Ten, went to the championship game. I think they lost that one to Wisconsin or Ohio State, but there's an opportunity there. Ohio State, Michigan play at the end of the year. Someone's going to lose that game.
Mm-hmm. So maybe, when I'm looking at Oregon, based on just their schedule, that's not enough. That's not enough to just move them, assuming all the pieces in front of them stay where they are.
They went out and beat USC. You don't think they get in?
I think they'd have to beat, because USC's, what, 14?
USC is 9. They're right behind them.
Do they play them?
They don't play them in the regular season.
Oh, for the
would be in
that'd
a
be for the
game.
That'd be for the championship game. Yeah, I mean,
UCLA is still hanging around at 7-1.
So yeah, you and UCLA, either one could climb up. You have to stomp CU. You have to beat Washington convincingly, and then Utah's 14. So, I just think they're going to need a lot of help in that Pac-12. I think they're going to need Tennessee to smoke Georgia to the point where it knocks them. Hey, if they knock them down as far as you say, then that helps Oregon. They need TCU to come back down to earth at some point.
Here's a chaos scenario I saw the other day. Let's say Georgia beats Tennessee this weekend.
Okay.
Bama-Georgia meet in the SEC championship. Bama beats Georgia. 3-1-loss SEC teams.
Wow. That'd be crazy.
That'd be wild.
That doesn't happen very often.
And I could see all three of them getting in with Ohio State.
Wow. What about TCU? Are they going
to
move up?
They have to prove themselves.
They do. When you look at their schedule, it's Texas Tech this weekend at Texas, 24. And as you said, at Baylor and Iowa State. So, very interesting stuff. Who do you think it's going to be? What's your prediction? Top four.
Top four.
When we get done with this thing.
I'm going to say Ohio State 1.
Okay.
Bama at 2. Probably Clemson at 3.
So that means they got to beat Notre Dame this weekend.
And then Tennessee at 4.
Ohio State, Bama, Clemson, Tennessee. So you have Oregon out too. And yep. Michigan misses out.
Oregon would probably be 5 in that situation.
And Michigan misses out.
Put them in the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It works.
It works.
It's the reason I do future headlines.
If we were able to... you got one right yesterday. What'd you get? One right? You got the Chubb. You got the Chubb right, but that was after we knew
about
it.
But I already had that in mind, that was going to happen.
I think you're cheating. I think you're... working for the government. 45 minutes after the
Heck
hour.
No.
Let's take a quick break. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, our Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your NoCo home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. And World Series action tonight. That'll be good. You know, and then we have football on all the time now. So we've got game four in the World Series? Yeah, game four. 6 o'clock. On Fox tonight, 6:03. Sorry, so we've got that on the tube. Also, college football. There's NBA basketball too, but you have a couple of college football games: Central Michigan, Northern Illinois, and then Western Michigan taking on Bowling Green. Nothing. No, I don't care.
If they're competitive in the second half, I will tune in.
Yeah,
for a second.
Yeah, maybe. Then, as you mentioned, Boston and Cleveland on ESPN tonight at 5:30. And then the later game is Memphis and Portland. And that's why I was, you know, as far as the question about Portland, how will they be? You know, 5-1, but Damian Lillard's out. So how long is he going to be? I heard a couple of weeks. He's going to miss tonight for sure, but suddenly, they are saying that maybe he could be back on their home on their road trip coming up this weekend. So, I guess it's been a week and a half already, or a week. So maybe Lillard goes. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. And the Nuggets get back at it on Thursday.
Thank goodness.
Wow.
I missed them.
Yeah, I mean, we had game after game after game after game, and now suddenly we go from Sunday to this. And, early in the season, you just kind of want to start seeing some of those pieces click a little bit more for Denver. And, you're 4-3. Last time out, you lost to the Lakers, a bad Lakers team. Get it figured out against the Thunder. Bones Highland is questionable in this one tomorrow. Again, it's just too early. Now, if this was like fully healthy, if Jamal Murray played last year and Porter played last year, then we were just starting the season like this, and you go 4-3 and go, huh, all right, I thought we'd kind of be dominating like Portland right now or some of these really good teams. I thought we'd be one of those at this stage. But I said it in the offseason that I truly believe this team could be 500, maybe under, by the time November's over, and it still won't be panic button time.
No, because we went into the expectations that, okay, Jamal's going to take some time to get back to playing strength, and he may not be back to, where we want him to be until February, March, when he hits the second half of the season. And then MPJ, how's he going to look? He's looked consistent so far this year, shooting a little over 50% from three. He said he could keep that up all season. I'd like to see it. And then working with Jokic and getting all these pieces back.
I don't think your prediction of Jamal going to lead the team in scoring is going to come to fruition.
Oh, that's way, way in the future headline. That's like the game where Jokic is resting. Murray puts off 40.
But you thought he would lead the team in points.
Yeah.
That he'd be his average would be higher. Right now, it's Joker at 21, Porter at 18.5, and then Jamal Murray at 13.8. But again, to see 20-point games. Like, it's going to start happening. I was shocked, actually, he got it this early.
I was shocked that he came back in that Lakers game.
Yeah.
Because they took him out in the fourth, and that was kind of like, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
And then that game got closer, and they put him back in, and it kind of felt like, oh, he's mentally getting to that point.
Well, what's weird, too, is like Joker averages 33 minutes per game. Michael Porter Jr. is at 29, and Murray's at 26.7. So Malone's not holding them back much. He did rest.
They're all on the floor together most times.
Jamal missed one game, and then Porter missed one game so far, right? So they've missed a game. But yeah, when they're in, they're playing as if the injuries don't matter. So get the Nuggets back at it on Thursday. We'll be good. We'll be back at it on a Thursday. We got Thursday night special tomorrow. Who's the Thursday night game?
Eagles, Texans.
I lost last week, didn't I?
Yes.
Okay, it's a new month. Brand new month. Eagles, Texans, really? Okay. We'll see. We'll have it tomorrow. Excited about it. We'll have some fun interviews. Tad Boyle will join the program. CU Buffs head basketball coach. So we're excited about that. It's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.